Well, let's pray real quick. Father God, thank you so much for the students that are here. Thank you for their heart, Lord. Just thank you for them forking over the money to come. I know for students, that's a huge excuse for them not to get here. That's the first step they've taken. Just bless this time. Be with me, man. Not just jabber. May we get some stuff done as we put our heads together and think. All God's people said. Amen. All right. My name is Josh. I was up there this morning with my wife, who knows speak English. she got a kimono. Because we work with a big chunk of our ministry is Japanese, which you would never think in a mountain town. So I don't know if I have enough, because I just kind of playing this by ear. But I've been in ministry for 12 years, and I've only been in collegiate ministry for 4 years. I've been a minister, I've been a youth pastor, college minister. I went to college to be a music major. Anyone from Denver? What part? Centennial? Okay, where'd you go to high school?
Grandpa, Chicory.
Eagle Crest.
Holla!
I had street cred. I went there, decided I didn't like musicians. I was in the metal music, I used to have the big holes in the ear, tatted up, all our friends, we all got saved at the same time. It's really funny how it worked out. And we all started our tattoos from certain parts of our body. I had a buddy started from here down. And he's now a preacher at Calvary Chapel Aurora. And praise God for Calvary's, because they really seek out that kind of person. Baptists, not so much. So praise God, mine are all under my clothes. But now he has these huge holes in here, and he has this big tooth in his neck, and he preaches. I'm like, what were we thinking? So if you're thinking about getting tattoos, get them where you can hide them. Unless you wear turtlenecks all the time. Or, never mind, he has it here too. So, unless you... no tattoos. So, when we moved to Durango, we had a vision. We had a strategy. And you guys all know about strategies, correct? Anyone here a director or in staff, or are you all students? Where are you at?
CU Boulder.
Oh, CU Boulder. Okay. That's a good guy. Bobby.
A little all over the place.
He's proven. You know, he's been there longer than any other director in Colorado. So if anything, that proves that God's behind you. So I'm going to tell you my story. We're going to get into this real quick, though, is we moved to Durango. And if you don't know much about Durango, it's slapped down in the middle of three reservations. The Navajo Reservation, which is the biggest one in the nation, it's roughly the size of, like, Maine. You can spend hours driving to it. And then we have the Southern Utes and the Mountain Utes, all bunched in there. And then Durango, Fort Lewis, used to be an Indian charter school. So it was mainly what we used to do when we tried to make Indians not Indian. So for the school to make up for it, they said, okay, because we were so bad to you, free tuition for you. So 35 to 50% of our campus is Native American. And that's why we have a lot of people from Oklahoma. If you're anything registered, it's free. So we got people from Alaska, a lot of people from Oklahoma. We got the people who look like they're white, who from the East tribes coming over. And it's free tuition. So, naturally, what would you think our target would be? Boom. We're like, oh, we're going to work with Native Americans. My wife, who's not Japanese, she is Choctaw Indian. She looked Japanese then. She speaks English. And she said, hey, this is a great way for us to do. So we were planning. We had our strategy going here. And we're thinking, great. We get there, and it's not a big school. What is it, 30,000? What is New Mexico State? 16, 18?
Yeah, about 15.
All right. My high school is the size of Fort Lewis, 4,000. You're like, wow. So we get there, and there's already three ministries up there that are doing kind of what ministries do. And one thing I want us to do real quick is, look at this, the Mickey D's syndrome. It's McDonald's. Can someone read that out loud for me?
Going well. Just like McDonald's, our ministry slash churches have become copies of each other. Even other denominations, even though some may dance, some may just sit, others have no music in their songs. You can go to any church or college ministry and almost know what the format is going to be. Cultures, people, belief systems, and more. Just because it works in Oklahoma does not mean it's going to work in Colorado. Just because a ministry is exploding in Seattle doesn't mean it will in Atlanta. A system slash strategy is a great tool for ministries to start from. But the problem with the system is that it usually only targets one people group.
All right, you can stop right there. So, We get, and by the way, this is not revolutionary. I'm not going to sit here on the next Lou Giglio or whatever. I'm just a guy who is not very smart. I struggled in school. I struggled in seminary. In fact, I quit seminary because I was so sick of it. People were so smart above me. I felt this little, and I felt I didn't need to be there. So I'm not a very smart guy. I don't believe in being super duper smart, especially when most of the world's not. I'm that 95%. I'm not talking Wall Street. We usually have the system strategy. So we get there, and you have four other ministries there. We're going to be the fifth out of 4,000 people. Now, you go to 30,000, 18,000, you can all do the same strategy, which is usually, and here's what we're going to do. When you walk into church or your big group ministry, what usually starts off with?
Worship.
What else?
Announcements.
What else?
Big preacher.
Speaker guy, guest speaker. What's that do?
Worship.
And maybe some altar call. Is that not just the mirror of a church? And so all these ministries... Oh, why am I pulling my eye? I have it written there. I'm used to doing that. So all these ministries, these three ministries out of the four that are up there, were doing that. It's 4,000 people, so I'm thinking, well, one ministry was focusing specifically on Navajos. I mean, they had the drums pounding.
So we get on campus, and they all have this same kind of Mickey D's thing that you even call it. We have worship. You can go to any church. I can go to Mexico, and like, we're going to do worship. Now, they might be speaking in Spanish. Worship. Speaker. Worship. Overall, right? Now, why do we do that? Why do we commonalize everything? That might not be a word, but you know what I mean. It's easy. What else? Yeah. Okay, so you walk into campus, and you're like, we're going to start this new ministry, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to do that. We're going to do that worship, big speaker. We're going to get great speakers up here. I already had planned who I'm going to have. That's what I was thinking. We get there. We start meeting with these other ministries. Like, oh, yeah, we meet. Have our big group. I went to their big group. I'm like, okay. Okay, and this other group's like, oh, no, we're so revolutionary. We're so new. We're called Rooted. We're great. Go to their group. I'm like, it's the same thing I just went to. Went to this other thing. It was the same thing I just went to. But when a church or a school campus is that small, what tends to happen? They compete because what kind of kids are they getting? The same, which is usually, and you go down here to the, we're not going to read the burn the box scriptures yet, but you go to the different people groups. You get the clutches, which are the interested leaders. You get the, I call them the horde. I'm a big zombie fan. The churched. You get the seekers, the spiritually intrigued. That's most of, not if all our campus ministries reach, because we do what? We do church. And so we got there, we're like, oh man, four ministries, 4,000 people, and they're doing exactly what we wanted to do. How do you think I felt? Stupid and discouraged. Because then one of the ministries is like, we don't need you here. Well, why don't you need us here? Because the guy they sent before me left out of discouragement because of the other ministers like, you're just going to do what we're going to do, and we're just going to fight. What do you think? I felt bad. I was like, Max, maybe, I don't know. Lord, what do you want us to do? And God said, you know what? Here's some scripture for you. So I want to read 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. Who wants to read that for me? It's NIRV, so it's like little kid writing. Don't worry. Thank you.
I am free. I belong to no other person, but I make myself a slave to everyone. I do this to help save as many people as I can. To the Jews, I become like a Jew so that I can help save Jews. I myself am not ruled by the law, but those who are ruled by the law, I become like someone who is ruled by the law. I did this to help save those who are ruled by the law. To those who are without the law, I became like someone who is without the law. I did this to help save those who are without the law. But really, I am not without God's law. I am ruled by the law of Christ. To those who are weak, I became weak so I could help them, or so I could help save them. I do this. I have become all things to all people. I did this so that I could save people in any way possible. I do all this to make the good news known. I do it so that I can share it in the blessings of the good news.
Man, that was pounding on me. So I manned up. And I went to all the directors of these other. We had crew, we had a Methodist group there, we had intervarsities up there. And it's not a big campus. You go to, like, my wife went to OU, 50,000 people. You're not going to see anyone. You're not going to see everybody there, ever. Well, our campus feels like high school. I mean, you see everybody within the first couple of months, and you're like, oh, hey, I remember you. When someone's new, you know it. It's almost weird. I mean, it's like high school. Like, that's the new kid. So this is my experience, because it was a small campus. You can get away with this at OU, because if you got 50,000 people, and you're rolling in 100, 200, 400 students, you could have five or six ministries doing the same thing and reaching, because you're going to have alone 8,000 Christian church people. On campus, where one, it's not in the Bible Belt. Two, it's in a very untouched native group, which is the Native Americans. It's a different feel. My wife is from Oklahoma, went to OU. She's Choctaw. She says she can't relate to the Indians here because they're untouched. You can major in three different languages. Ute, Mountain Ute, and Navajo. And people speak it all the time. You go to restaurants and they won't speak English. They'll speak Navajo. You go on the reservation, you got to bring a translator with you. I've never heard of that. I mean, you're like, what? And my wife's like, what's going on? They won't speak to you if you don't speak the language. It's really weird how they shun each other and how it's just weird. So it's a different world. So we thought, when I read this scripture, God put it on me to go to these directors and say, hey, be honest with me. Who are you not reaching? No, directors like to be, but we're reaching everybody. What are you talking about? Luckily, they were very honest with me. They said, we're not reaching international students. In fact, we have nothing for them. Every ministry said that. Other ministry said, we're not reaching the unchurched. If they don't have a church background, they have nothing to do with us. And then we're not reaching the athletes, because we don't know how to reach the athletes. So we said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to do a big group at all. We're not even going to meet on campus. We're going to have dinner at my house, and we're going to have discussion about homosexuality, about spirituality, about things that really you see on campus. I don't know if Fort Lewis is like New Mexico State or probably just like CU. We're like a miniature Boulder. Just crazy. Everything's protested. Durango has the neutral bathrooms where if your boy thinks he's a girl, he can go in the girl's bathroom. To me, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. But that's the world we live in. And this is elementary school my kids go to. Because there's two transgender boys who think they're girls. So the law says go. We talk about this stuff. And you know who starts coming to our groups? Guy named Andrew who dresses like a woman. Navajos, by the way, come off that reservation struggling with homosexuality. Because there's no dads on the reservation. It's wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, I'm out of here. So when they come off that reservation, they're flaming. Flaming. They're starting to come. We're getting the people who aren't so... We get the antagonists, the know-it-alls, the people who want to debate you. Maybe you've ran those, see you. The people on there are like, I'll prove to you right now why Christianity is bogus and why you're stupid for believing it. Okay, well, or you grew up with it. So we had those people coming. We had the internationals starting to come because they're like, huh, okay, yeah, we're trying to cling to something. And then we had those untouchables, the people with the negative experience. And obviously there's only six here. But you can mix and match. Obviously, the untouchable could have been the churched. In fact, a lot of times that's why they become so antagonistic towards the church, because they had something bad happen to them. So we started this group and said, we're not going to meet on campus. We're not going to have a group band. We're not going to play. And we've lost some people. We had some guys say, where's the praise band? We don't do that. Oh, a week later, we see them over at the other group. And that is fine. We're not here to fight. We're obviously here to be on the same team. And that's the kind of flag I was waving around when we first showed up. So we started having this group. When we first started, we had three people. Our last one, we had close to 50. In my house, which is not much bigger than our workspace here is like this size. And it gets crowded. Well, then we started athletes. I played rugby in college. And I paid for it because now I have vertigo because of all the concussions. And so I take medicine. Yay. And so I go up to them. I said, hey, they're playing. I said, hey, can I coach? You can be the coach. Our coach has left.
Oh, my goodness.
Sweet. So I started coaching the rugby club. Then I go up to the football coach. I said, hey, coach, I'm here. I'm in a ministry. We're going to start focus on athletes. If you need anyone for the team, I'm here. He says, great, you're going to start traveling with us. Okay. He's like, I want you there. I want you to speak to our team every week. Okay. I want you to get all the chapels set up for the games. I'm like, okay. Bam! Right then and there. We put up a little table that says FCA. all these athletes, oh, we've been waiting for somebody to minister to us. And next thing I know, we're like 38 athletes in our first meeting. And we're like, gosh, so that's two different nights. So then we're like, okay, well, we got the internationals. What will we do with them? Well, we hooked up with one for the first year, and that was before we even knew there was internationals in the school. And we said, and she was Japanese, because 90% of ours is Japanese. We have a connection with Waseda University in Tokyo. So they send over 50 students. And most of them, and then the Europeans, but I said they're all on the soccer team. And that's why we rock. And we win national championships left and right. So we went there, and we asked her, what could we have done to effectively help you? And she knew where we were, what we stood for. She says, do an English class. We know English. But when we get here, we don't know English. But what you get is like us in Spanish. We got a white guy teaching us Spanish, but when we go to Mexico, they're speaking in hyperdrive. Well, the same thing for them. They're like, we can't understand. We don't know the slang. We never learned the slang. And they're like, so the next year, we said, we'll do an English class. We'll call it English Club. We had like 40 show up. And it's just amazing. And my wife runs that. And so what we started doing, it was just me and my wife, and we prayed, Lord, this is too much work for two people. Send us some help. Bam, we ran to some Durangutangs. He says, I've lived here for 15, 16 years. I'm married, and, you know, we were in ministry. We're out of it. Kind of got hurt in the last ministry I was in. What can we do? Come along. Be part of this. I'm not a Nazi where I have to control everything on my staff. I'm like, God's made us all different. You do things differently. Just make sure you're doing it. And that's the only way I'll fire you if you're not doing it. And so he's like, I'll do it. And then we brought on the lady who was interviewing us is our rookie. She came out of our ministry. She came out of our unchurched ministry. She came out of living lesbian lifestyle. When we first met her, she looked like a dude. And we just loved on her on those Tuesday nights. And that is our story. And that's what I'm saying. It's not right. It's not saying if you do this, it's going to happen there. I don't like that commonalizing everything. I don't even know if that's a word. Then these scriptures, Paul's talking about be everything to everybody you can. Now, I'm not saying go throw a kegger, which I have seen ministries try to do that once or twice. I'm like, woo! But what I want us to do for a lot of this time is to think of what can we do to brainstorm when you start a ministry. Because if you're, raise your hand if you're from the Bible Belt. Do you guys plan on ever leaving it? Okay. You might want to change it up. Unless you're already out changing it up. Because what I've discovered is a lot of the speakers we have that come to speak are from the Bible Belt who have successful ministries from doing things we've done since the beginning of time. I mean, I can go down south and say, we're a Christian group. Oh! Because it's your culture. I'm not saying you're not any better than us. It's the culture. You grew up going to Falls Creek or whatever. You grew up, I mean, I remember working in a youth group. It was like five people strong. And then we went to Falls Creek. Somehow we brought 50. Even the non-church people were cultured to go to Falls Creek. When they go to college, like, oh, yeah, I need to plug in somewhere. Well, when you go to a place where they've never left the reservation, they're not looking for that. And so this is not that I have the right formula. Buy this now and I'll give you another sample. It is... You never know what you're going to step into. And just don't step into your normal mode of, okay, we're just going to do this because that's what I know. This is, Paul says, be everything to everything you can. And the summary of the chapter 17 of Acts, this is where Paul approaches in Athens, where there's those gods on those little posts, and he sees the empty one. It says, the unknown God. So what does Paul do?
I know the unknown.
He doesn't say, Jesus Christ, and what you're believing in is wrong, you sinner heathens. He just said, hey, this unknown God, let me tell you about this guy. And he goes and shares the gospel. Isn't that crazy? We had two Japanese, we believe, have become Christians last year. One of them was an atheist. At the beginning, he says, I don't believe in God. I don't want me coming to your stuff. And a horrible accent. By the end of the year, he was like, you know, I said, do you believe you're a Christian? Because you can't say, do you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? That you repented of all your sins? That is such an American phrase. They don't understand it. There's really no word for Jesus in Japanese language. So how can I say that? No, he's like, you know, he says, I believe there's a painting and there was a painter who painted it. That is a huge metaphor for I believe in a creator, from a guy who just 9 months before said, I'm an atheist and I won't be coming to anything. Now, I didn't get him to fill out a card. I didn't get him to repeat after me. I've done that once and I felt horrible. I was like, why did I do that? Because, you know, the next week he's out doing his own thing. I've had Catholic guys come. We had a metal ministry in Denver where we had metal concerts, and guys would come to know Christ. And that's another thing. Things that you choose to do so outlandish might cost you your job, because that cost me my job. I was doing things so unchurched-like, our pastor said, I got to get rid of you. We'd have 400 non-Christian, emo, screamo, freaky people and share the love of Christ with them, but he didn't want that in their building. So, you're out of here. I mean, I'd be praying with them. Do you believe this? Yes, I believe this. Then you're a believer. Oh, wow, that's it? Some of them come out of the Catholic background. Well, don't you need to pray for my salvation? No. What do you do? This is just the training. What do you do when an unexpected happens? You go to a college. What if someone sends you to Alaska? Oh, my goodness. All the training in the world won't help you there. What if he sends you to New York? I've never been to New York, but I've been with missionaries in New York, and it sounds like a zoo. I mean, New Mexico State is different than CU. CU is different than OU. OU is different than Penn State. We talk different. We sound different. You ever seen that thing on Facebook where we all have the different accents? And then you notice, like, in the Cajun world, it's, like, completely red. But we're different cultures. And we got to understand that. Paul knew that. Paul said, hey, you got to be all things to all people. If this isn't going to be a problem for somebody, let it go. If they believe in this many gods, sneak in the gospel somehow. You don't have to bash. We have a guy on our campus that likes to put his stool up every year and get up and scream at people. Well, you know what that causes? That causes all the lesbians and gays to get out there and start making out. That gets all those antagonistic know-it-alls to scream really smart words at them. That this textbook says this. Your stupid Bible to believe in this. You're an idiot. And it grows in from, I meant something good. And of course, he'll walk off that thing and say, I'm suffering for Jesus. It's like, no, you just made a lot of people mad. I don't want to say another word, but I probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, suffering for Jesus does not mean you just make people mad. Do you know that? There's ministries on campus that they told me, well, you're not allowed to do this because we were told we couldn't. Well, then we realized over time these people came with a freaking hammer at people. They said, you know, we can't move. I don't know how CU is. You have to be an RSO. You have to have like 6 students to be an RSO. You have to be approved. And we have to be approved to be on campus. It's very strict. It's a very liberal school. And they're very strict because of what ministries have done before. They said, hey, we're going to move in people, but these people are complaining that you're harassing them about Jesus. Well, they're like, oh, good. Well, we're suffering for Jesus then. And so the school's like, okay, you can't do this anymore. So then they're like, oh, we're suffering for Jesus. We can't do this. They're not letting us do it in the name of the Lord. It's like, no, you're making them mad. They said, don't do this. If God is the God we preach, then we can work under any circumstance. You ain't going to go to China and fight the government, are you? No, you'll be like, I'm going to respect that, but we're going to go into the underground church. So we go up there with open hands and say, hey, you know, we're believers in Jesus Christ. This is what we stand for. We're not them. And we'll do whatever you need us to do. You know what? They let us have a block party on campus, which was told was impossible. We had 500 students show up to that. Wow. It was impossible. Everyone said, they won't let you do that. Sometimes, and most of the times, you need to come to the gospel with a hug. I'm not a hippie, don't worry. But where I live, there's a hippie. And Durango, you can go to Walmart, and you'll see a 60-year-old dude with dreadlocks down to his butt. It is awesome. You're just like, and it's all gray. You're like, only in Durango would you see an old person with like Rastafari dreads. I mean, they're like the big ones. Well, and Boulder, as I'm saying, we're like miniature Boulder. And here's another thought. In the bottom part, our ministry may be a square peg, but the culture we are in is a round hole. That's that McDonald's thing that we try and try. We've had people. This ministry has a fallout every year. And so about this time when we get back to school, we'll have about 5 to 8 to 10 students from their group come to our group. Because what will happen is we set this net of, okay, we're going to go at this speed, and if you don't keep up with us, we don't have anything to do with you. Have you been in ministries like that? We're going to cast the net, and we're going to be awesome. But if you're not where we want you to be by this certain time, we don't have time for you. If you haven't passed this study, or you're not memorizing this, or you're not coming to everything, we just don't have time for you. So about this time, when we start back up, we're going to have about close to 10 new students show up saying, I felt like they just burned me. Now, I'm not saying we're better, but this group that does that, they are known to build some of the best ministry disciples because they reach those people who are looking to be those people. So knowing what we did, we made a judgment knowing it will be a while before we get that awesome kid who wants to be that. Now, we lucked out with Randy. She changed right away and she became on our staff, but that's the only one. It's been hard. It's been frustrating. Prepare to be frustrated. Prepare for anything. And remember, if ministry success is based solely on attendance, then Jesus was the biggest loser of them all. He had 12, and what happened to them when the crap hit the fan? He had one basically stuck around. Think about that. But see, we see, oh, we'll get this guy over here because his ministry has 500 people. So, who cares? 500 people, what? How many of those 500 are truly believers? I'm not saying that. We got some interesting folks in our group. I mean, you come to our group, you're like, what? I mean, we've had the church people come to our group who probably fit in better with the other group, who come to our group and are like, maybe they might say, this is shallow. Because, you know, sometimes we bring the scriptures every time on Tuesday, but we don't focus on it. Because when half of, if not most of your group is not Christian, and some of them are dressed in drag, and the topic is homosexuality, barking up the theological wall is not going to do any good. See, here I can say homosexual is wrong. And you're like, that's right. I said that on Tuesday night. Why? I was born this way. You don't know what I've been through. Ooh, it changes. Do you see the difference? In college campus, whether you're in New Mexico, CU, Oklahoma, where are you from, sir? Fort Hays. Where else? Anyone from Oklahoma? Wyoming, Oklahoma, you got that. I mean, you can say it's the Bible Belt, but the colleges are college campuses. Some might just be a little more open than others and crazier. But what school do you go to?
East Central University.
Don't know where that's at. Somewhere East Central. Okay. So let's keep going on. Someone read these questions on the back side. We flipped over. All right, next one.
How many groups are on your campus?
Mm-hmm.
What is your method?
Mm-hmm.
What is your culture? Who is your target? And how to reach them?
These are things you need to think about when you start a ministry. Now, well, I talked about, they kept on saying, well, think outside the box. Like, screw the box, let's burn it and think with a new perspective. Because I always hear this, think outside the box. And so when we think outside the box, we get a coffee shop. You know, or we have dinner at my house on Thursday nights. I'm like, woohoo. Dude, coffee shops, wow. You know, I remember Mike's story is youngest son, and he talked about coffee houses when he was a hippie. And that's what the churches did back in the day, so it's not like it's a brand new thought. And I'm not talking about revolution. So what I want you to do here is, no matter how far-fetched you think, and I don't know why I have these answers on burn the box, scratch those out. Those are things we've done. Next year, I'm going to become a student so I can get into class and so I can meet more students. I don't need to go to school, but I'm thinking, you know, we're having a hard time reaching certain kids. Well, I want to meet more kids because we're so strict into what we can do. I'm like, they can't do jack if I'm a student. I can just flash my card. Hey, I'm a student. Sorry. I can come to this. I can say, because students have more freedom to say than the people off the campus on. So we're talked about becoming a student. My trade, it was graphic design. And so at the end, that's what it became. And so I thought, hey, take some more graphic design things. You got to show off in front of those kids. Oh, I know how to launch that. Oh, you're new. How cute. No, but to meet new people. And see, that's something I like. Dude, that's... And, you know, I talk to the people on my staff. They're like, that's kind of stupid. Well, we'll do it then. Because what's our goal? What's our goal in ministry?
To reach the lost
and build disciples. Well, you can't build disciples if you don't reach people.
You can
16 weeks hanging out with your classmates.
And yeah, and I'm just going to hang out. Yeah. I even thought about taking a philosophy class because I hear those get pretty rowdy. So take some time, write your in the boxes, your out of boxes, and scratch out my answers, and write your burn in a box. And I want someone to share it. Now, the burn out the box thing, write down something ludicrous. That is the, I don't know if that would ever work. I've never seen it done before. Like mine was joining, this next year will be becoming a student to reach more people. One of our out of the box was not to have a big group and just meet in our house for discussion. I've never heard of that outside of house churches. So take your time real quick and do that. And if any of you guys don't know where you want to go after you graduate, come up to Durango. I believe in quality than quantity. So right now we have a staff of 5. I would like to have a staff of 20. That's ludicrous. Burn it in the box. But I'm all serious. And you can always go back to the people groups, the antagonistics, the exotics, the untouchables. How could you reach them? Keep them in mind. I wonder if Durango got snow. And one of these things is, as ministries, our goal is to help other ministries on campus, not compete. And I think because we went this route, we've become friends with them rather than competitors. And that's a great thing, too. It's because we are starting to sharpen one another. Because it's understood that, okay, you know, I met this athlete guy, so I'm going to send him to you. There's this Japanese, and you know, we tell the Japanese kids to go anywhere. Our goal is for them to connect with Christian students. Because they're, you know, they're just trying to connect to somebody. So they connect to a Christian student, whether it's our group or another group, we're happy. And then, you know, it's just, they say, it's just good how we connect now, because we get together every twice a year, beginning of the year and end of the year, pray and just pray for each other and to see how things are going and eat a lot of unhealthy food, which is hard to do in Durango because everything is organic. Let's just say we have 4 Subways and 1 McDonald's. Has everyone done? Someone share a burn the box.
Evolution debate.
Ooh, yes. Yeah, that's good.
Being a mobile ranch hand and like starting ministries on ranches all over.
Ooh.
That's, I mean, I want to start one big children's ministry on my own ranch, and that kind of, that's been done. I don't think anything like mobile, like go touch all the ranches.
Anyone else? Yeah, this doesn't have to just be towards collegiate ministry. I mean, this is just all over the place. You want to start a church in Seattle, it's a different animal than Atlanta.
Joining secular groups. Like, I had a buddy join, like, the Atheist United group. He's like, why are you uniting as atheists? It doesn't make sense. And so we, like, went, or, like, some, like, forum for secular government, or, like, I guess going to, like, the gay United meeting or whatever. Like, it'd be hard. It's just like, I'm not here to argue with you. I just
want
to love you, but
love, and it's you do great when you know what they believe and how they work. Because a lot of times we run our mouth.
Yeah.
And I used to see, you know, people believe, and I believe the scripture is God breathed. The scripture says that, and the power. You know, some people say the power of the scripture is too powerful. I'm like, well, if that was true, what happened to Judas? He was with the man for 2 years and still betrayed him. So there's people. How do you argue someone with the Bible who doesn't take the Bible serious? I mean, you can quote scripture. I was in not a debate, but when I first started my ministry, this is how it started. I sat down in the union, which is all the TVs and couches, and prayed, God, send me someone to talk to. I had 0 students, knew nobody. God would be faithful and send a student. One girl had all these tattoos just covered in Candyland. So this sleeve, you couldn't see skin. Beautiful tattoos. So we started talking about tattoos. We had tattoos. Well, I was sitting next to a church plant minister. Good guy. And the first thing he started doing was quoting Romans Road, which is not bad. But it gets to the part where all have sinned, fallen short of the glory. We're all evil. We've all done bad things. She's like, so I just met you and you're calling me bad. Before I know it, they're screaming at each other. And the guy gets so frustrated, he just walks off. And she looks at me and she says, are you next? I said, oh, no, no, no. Because she was bisexual. She's a liberal, or not liberal. Well, she's liberal, but she... She's a feminazi. She believes women should rule and men shouldn't. And she gave me why. She gave me a paper why. And I read it. And she had good points, but I ended up talking to her about, yeah, you know, I might not agree with it, but you know what? In my time, I've looked at pornography. I've done things with girls I shouldn't, and that's considered bad, too. And I said, you know what? Our church is full of them. So you'll just be as welcome as everyone else, or should be. And she's just like, oh, and you know, I spent a couple times breaking down that. Well, now, she was a girl, so my goal was not to, hey, let's meet one-on-one. This girl was so sensual, I was afraid to be alone with her. I mean, very sensual. Very promiscuous. Let's say, you know, if you went up to her and said, hey, let's experiment in the bathroom right now, she'd be like, okay. So I'm like, don't ever be alone with her. I was in public, so I was fine. But the more I got to know her, I connected her with my wife. And next thing you know, they're reading the Bible. And slowly and surely, she starts coming to our group. And then we do a video at the end. Our website's at the very bottom. Go check it out. It starts off with our video. We do a video every year where we interview students. Japanese, native, a non-Christian, gay, whatever, athletics, and they share what we did to help them. And some of them aren't Christians. In fact, one of the Japanese guys will say, I'm not a believer. But this is what I've been shown by these Christians. We wanted that. We wanted that. And one of the videos, one of the girls, I believe, is this girl. We call her Alley Cat. She has a huge Hello Kitty tattooed on her back. She always wears barely any clothes, so you can see everything. She was on the rugby squad. That's another thing. Coaching rugby, guys and girls, the girls is full of just dykes. And they're not afraid to be called that. They want to be called bros and dudes and butch. And so, you know, I'd be caught sitting with them at the gay pride rally because they were my girls on my team. And I got in trouble with some of the other ministries because I was caught sitting with them. You know, to me, I just want to say screw it. I'm not sitting there with a flag saying, gay pride, whoa, support what they're doing. I'm sitting there just talking to them at their table about sports, about the game we just had, or sorry, the match. You know, how are you doing? You want to come to our group? Hey, what did you think about our prayer before the game? You know, anything I can pray for you about? Just chilling and talking. And yes, there are rainbow flags flying all around me. And yes, I was sitting at the table where there was a sign up. Maybe I could sit somewhere else. I don't know.
That doesn't mean you're advocating.
But when they came around to me and saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm doing what God would have done. I'm not out there supporting them with a flag. I'm not wearing the shirt, but I'm there loving on them. And we have gay rallies all the time up there. And we had a pastor give up and says, you know what? Jesus is not the one out there protesting you guys. Jesus was being here loving you guys. And so I'm sorry I'm talking about, because that's a huge group we deal with. Keep going. I'm talking too much here. Who else? Someone burn in the box.
I don't know. For like Indian students, I was taught how to create an Indian Christian style, like a Hindu culture, like worship session.
Ooh.
Like they already do as Hindus anyway.
Yeah.
It's just Christian songs and go on scriptures.
That could get you in trouble. But what do we do? Why do we have church the way we do? Historically, it came from pagan Romans. But we seem to forget we did that. Uh-huh. But we'll bash people who say, well, you're chanting. Oh, my gosh. Well, why are we in churches? You know where the stained glass windows came from? You know why it faces the sun all the time?
Christmas is in December.
We just covered up. We covered pagan holidays and pagan rituals with Christians stuff.
What's the stained glass?
Well, we face the sun because it's the sun god. What was his name? The Roman guy who made Catholic or who made Christianity Romans.
Yeah.
He was also... many people believed was a elder in the pagan worship of the sun. So he did a lot of things that they did and turned it into Christian. That's why they used to face the sun and they had the big round stained glass through it. I'm like, do people not realize? Here's a book, Pagan Christianity. Read it. It shows you where we got all of our Christian, most of our Christian, oh my gosh. Thank you, Rachel. oh my gosh. And they're recording this. Someone else. A couple more. Well, we still got time. Gosh, I'm doing great. A poker ministry. Now, with real money? Oh, well, see, now people could be fighting that, but I can see where you're going with that. Especially if you're in Vegas.
Drinking soda at the bar.
Was that yours?
Well, I didn't personally do it, but I knew someone personally, and they actually started a church in a bar in a town I grew up in. Wow. And they meet every Sunday. And I mean, they'll sit there and, like, when you come to church service, you get a free beer.
Wow.
But, I mean, they have, like, a huge turnout, though.
Well, yeah. If my ministry's like, Gager! We'd have, like, the whole campus come on.
It's been really successful.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. We got to realize there is a line that we can't cross. I'm not saying anyone here is. Drinking's not a sin. In fact, Colorado is one of the largest, outside of, like, Washington or Oregon, microbreweries. Which means you do your own beer. And we had three students do their own beer, and we used to have the alcohol talk. And some people were like, me, I'm clean. I don't do it. It's bad for me. When I touch it, bad things happen. When my brother would touch it, he got addicted. It killed almost all my mom's family. So we're just like, you know, I don't need to be around it. But it doesn't mean I'm going to tell you it's wrong. To me, it's like a gun. What are you going to do with it? So, you know, I don't have a gun either. My wife won't let me. So it's a double whammy for me. I wanted a gun. I wanted a gun this year, and she said no. I love shooting. I'm really good at skeet shooting. So 2 times I get to do it a year. But we got to watch out what we do, because people are watching us. And there's a student, a very liberal Christian guy, who's now at, it tells you how liberal this guy is, he's now at Duke at seminary. That's just a very liberal seminary. He drinks and smokes his pipe because that's what smart people do. And I was like, you know, hey, drink all you want. That's cool. You're of age. But don't drink with underage people. That's illegal. I'll be fine. A week later, he gets busted at a party with underage drinker. And he says, well, I didn't know that. It's like, it doesn't matter. They now see you as someone who drinks with underage drinkers at parties. I said, whether you meant it for wrong or right, now they're going to view you as, oh, you're at that party we all got busted at. Does that make sense? Well, he didn't mean to, like, I'm going to get wasted. I mean, that's what I think. But the fact is, what we do, we got to tread lightly on what we do, because people are watching. People are watching. That's why it matters what we say, what we do, and how we do it.
When he was talking earlier about being the sheep among the wolves, it's funny to think about it. When a wolf comes into, like, a herd of sheep, they have one purpose. They're, like, already in kill mode. But if a sheep wanders off into, like, a pack of wolves...
He's like, hey, guys, what's going on?
Like, hey, what's up? I mean, a wolf will get down and observe. Mm-hmm. They're like, wait a minute. And kill mode isn't on immediately. So it's like, if we're going out into a world that doesn't expect to see Christians in that, like, setting, mm-hmm. all of a sudden they're like, whoa.
No, not like the drinking thing. Like, if you see at a restaurant drinking, it's like, well, that's cool. No, whatever. Yeah. But, like, he was at a party where what usually connects with a party at college? Bad things. Bad thing. One, illegalness. You don't want to be caught in things illegal. And that's what he got himself caught into. Go to a bar, drink where you know everyone you're with is of age. But when you start going into the condos and the dorms, that's when it's like, okay, who here is legal? Because they got busted and they all got tickets. So he's going into seminary with this, I drink with underage people. And the seminary can turn you down for that. Because he's now have it on his record. Because that's a big deal. Colleges take a big deal to that. But like the poker thing, just make sure where you're doing it, it's wise. Because that's that treading lightly thing. There's a lot of people up here to say what you're doing is wrong. That's gambling. Well, you know, then what is stocks and bonds? Well, that's good gambling. Well, then you made the line very blurry to me. Because there's people who professionally play poker. Watch ESPN2. I'm not saying I do any of that. I'm not good at stocks, bonds. I'm not good at gambling. My wife says I have a horrible gambling face. One more.
Church based out of a gym.
Ooh, okay. My church, no, I didn't start it, but I grew up in a church at my own high school, which was pretty bad. Going to church, going to my school 6 days a week.
We have one in our city that's in movie theater.
Yeah, that's cool. No. Gym, movie theater, yes.
You always see the stop signs on the side of the road at major truck stops that a lot of churches will go to the truck stops on Sunday mornings and minister to truck drivers.
Oh, the little chapels in the truck stops, yeah.
My dad did that for a long time. He's a full-time truck driver.
And that's awesome because there's millions of those guys, yeah. And they're isolated. Mm-hmm. You see most of it. You always usually see those guys parked in porn shops too.
Yeah.
Texas, I-35. This is what I think is funny. The Bible Belt. You go out of Texas. You leave Oklahoma on I-35. What's the last thing you see? A casino. You walk into Texas. What's the first thing you see? A porn shop. The Bible Belt. Praise Jesus. I just think every time I'm with my wife, we drive. I'm like, wow, God's country, huh?
What about the
have fun with her.
A nativity scene in front of a porn shop.
Oh my God,
we had that in Lebanon, Missouri, where my dad lives.
That I don't know if that's like really in your face or. Like, anyway, yeah, we're recording this. Yes, sir.
At the beginning of this semester, I watched some videos from the Triple X Church, and I was just thinking you could put this on a campus, but they go to the porn conventions and they hand out Bibles that say Jesus loves porn stars. And so maybe like bring that to a, I don't know, like a LGBTQ and be like, Jesus loves.
Wow. I couldn't do that. Wow. I'd have to come back to my wife and apologize so much.
I mean, it's a really, and he's done some stuff with the main guy at church will do, like, school debates with Ron Jeremy, like, the porn star.
Mm-hmm.
On the campuses and be like, talk about, like, Christianity and kind of that whole, this is why this is the way it is, and everyone wants to see him because he's...
Yeah, he's the face of it. Wow, yeah. Wow. Gosh.
And they're totally legit. They're the ones who do the that X Watch where you can, like, give your email to your...
Yeah, oh, on your phone. And so they can keep track of what you're looking at. That's and I, you say that again, so all these guys can write it down.
Oh, yeah. I think it's X3 Watch, and it's
triplexchurch.com. X3 Watch.
X3 Watch. That's the program, but it's triplexchurch.com.
And it's like an app. Yeah. Yeah, and you can keep each other accountable because if someone decides to go look at something naughty, it shoots his text to the buddies where they've been. Thank you. Yeah. It was cool, yeah. See, when you think this way, though.
Like, okay, I know this is, like, silly to you guys, but, like, porn is silly to us. Like, we don't get that. And so, like, Facebook, a lot of my friends are seriously addicted to stalking boys on Facebook. And, like, it breaks their heart and ruins relationships. And that's a cool app.
That app would probably be overloaded. I'm surprised the porn one's not.
And also with that, like when they did the Bibles, that ministry, they have a bunch of testimonials of how that works, like porn starts coming out.
Wow, that's cool.
Really just getting into that.
So let's go back to the burning the box and go back to these questions above real quick. How would you make that happen? What would you do to do these questions? Starting a church, a theater, a gym, which would probably be a school or a YMCA, poker night. Yeah, CrossFit church, everyone would be healthy. Those guys are crazy. You know, your ranch, the truck stop. We also do a church service on top of the mountain during ski season. Yeah, I can't snowboard anymore, so I don't go. That's just how I roll. Since my heart surgery, I've been not able to do like half the things I wanted to do. That's okay. I do jiu-jitsu now.
That's cool.
Yeah, it makes no sense, though. Can't snowboard, but you can choke people to death, you know? Break some people's arms, and it's like, okay, whatever. So, but all those ideas, you were great. None of them, the people with the porn want to be, you know, because it's such a deadly thing to men, morally. But, you know, they need to be reached. I just can't see myself going into a porn shop or a porn convention. They have conventions? Golly. That's true, they do have
it.
Well, there's a guy named Haven Ministries. Write that down. Haven Ministries. His name is Bill Hunsberger. His ministry is way outside the box. He ministers to the occults. So he goes to the, like you said, the porn convention. He goes to the occult conventions. And we've had him come speak. He'll come and speak. He's all about sharing. So, you know, you get him a place to stay and give him $100. He'll be happy. Probably even for free, you feed him. He's great. He's the outside-the-box guy because he saw, who are we not reaching? Oh, that's right. We're not reaching most of the people. And this is the darkest people you can think of, is the people who are like astrology. It's all the occultic people. And he goes to these things, and he witnesses to them, and he builds relationships with these people. And luckily, he didn't have to leave Denver too much, because we're a haven for that. But that's his ministry, Haven Ministries, Bill Hunsberger. You know, he has some books. Just send him some stuff. Say I said hi. Not that I sent you, but say I said hi. And he can be a valuable resource for thinking outside the box with that kind of stuff. Because that stuff's on campus, too. You just don't realize. Because on especially our campus, this is funny. This is my wife. She's Indian. And this is political correctness working towards our side. Because they're fighting church, Christian groups, tooth and nail. You can't be on here. It's against church and state. Well, since it's a big Indian school, they have big sweat huts. And that's where they go get drugged up and get sweaty and just have visions. Well, they have witch doctors, medicine men, who are paid by the school to be there for their spiritual guidance. So my wife walks in there, being all Indian-like. If it were me to some white guy, I'd be like, this is racist. But she walks in there and she says, you know, why can't we do this? Well, it's separation between church and state. She's like, well, why are you paying for their religious experiences then? And he stood there, and he couldn't say anything because she was Indian. And that's that politically. If I walked in and I was a white guy saying that, they'd kick me out. We don't need to hear you. But she was part of them and saying, why can't we have Christianity stuff in here? Is that not as much American culture as their Indian heritage? And he just says, you're right. You're absolutely right. And so he let us do some stuff. Yeah. And the ministry, here's another thing. You need to connect with your community. That's another thing a lot of churches and ministries don't. The ministry, there was a ministry, why am I pointing up here again? There's ministries up there that have, and I'm going to close on this, that have been up there for 20-something years, and they've never met the president of the school, any of the deans, any of the powers that be. Churches have been in their communities forever and have never met any of the politicians in the area. It'd be good to know your politicians personally somehow. So one of the things we first did, we met the president. We met the head coach. We met the deans. We met the guy who's supposedly the biggest enemy to Christian groups. You know what? We see each other all the time and say hi. They all know us now. They know what we stand for. They know what we're doing here. And they know our goals. So wherever you are, whether it's a church, whether it's a ministry, a campus ministry, just an outreach ministry, a truck stop ministry, you know, it might be good to get to know the owner of that truck stop. So you do something, they're like, who are you and why are you associated with us? Does that make sense? That's how a lot of ministries get kicked off, and that's why a lot of anti-church rules are set. It's because someone went in there gun-ho and decided not to go by the rules. I understand, I'm all about fighting for Jesus, I'm all about our rights, but when we fight about our rights, when did Jesus ever fight about his rights? When was the last time Jesus said, hey, you know, Pilate, this is not a right trial. It's midnight. I deserve my rights. And I hear a lot of Christians talking about this is our right as Americans. I'm like, are we Christian or are we American? It's hard to be both sometimes. And I love America, don't get me wrong. I love the fact that we're different colors here. I love the fact that guys and girls are equal here. I love the fact that my wife and I are married. It's just that we're one of the few countries that have that. And someone worked. I mean, granted, we have racism, we have hate, we have all the people that play that. It's great. I love it. And it makes us that much more stronger. Any questions? I'm done. Just remember, if our purpose is to reach the lost and make disciples in Jesus Christ, then we should be doing whatever we can to reach them, not just what comes easy and expected. I'm done, but if you want to stay and ask me questions. Comic-Con, I will be there, but probably not ministry-wise. I'm going to nerd myself out.
Copyright by the Navigators, 2014. All rights reserved.